and...
No, we got one before that.
Sit down. Okay, we're going to first do 14A, and we're going to continue a public hearing. Second reading, ordinance to repeal and replace Title 10, Chapter 10, Siskiyou County Code regarding flood damage and stuff.
Well, good morning, Chair, members of the board. I'm Seth Gray, I'm the floodplain administrator. We're here for the second reading of the new flood ordinance, which meant to replace Title 10, Chapter 10 of Siskiyou County Municipal Code. The new ordinance must be adopted today at today's hearing in order to meet the December 11th, 2025 deadline set by FEMA in order for Siskiyou County to remain in the National Flood Insurance Program. The adoption of this ordinance will ensure Siskiyou County remains in compliance with all federal and state laws. This ordinance has been conditionally approved by FEMA pending the adoption of the ordinance today. The Siskiyou County Planning Commission previously held a notice public hearing on this matter and recommends approval. Notice of today's hearing was duly posted and no public comments have been received to date. With regards to CEQA adoption, the ordinance is exempt under the common sense exemption and other exemptions related to protection of natural resources and environment. Recommendation. Should the board wish to follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission, a recommended motion has been provided and is listed on the staff report and agenda worksheet.
Okay.
If any questions?
Anything from the board? Nothing. Okay, with that.
We need to follow our procedure.
I gotta go through all of that. Okay, here we go. Presentation of correspondence.
No correspondence at the clerk's level.
Thank you. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Any in the room? Any online?
Surely not online.
Opponents. Arguments and or evidence. Any in the room? Any online?
Surely none online.
Public comment? Any in the room? Any online?
None online.
Rebuttal by proponents in the room? Online? Rebuttal by opponents? Any in the room? Online?
Surely none online.
Now we will close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board?
Did we ask for public comment?
I did.
Okay, thank you.
Would you want to recommend a motion?
I'm asking to entertain a motion.
Second.
Yeah.
We're good?
We're there.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren.
Aye. That's your decision. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, 11B. Burn it dead. This is Iron Horse.
Good morning. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. David Ballman, on behalf of Iron Horse Acres LLC, has submitted an application for a separate blame snack contract for their 521 acres of land, which has a portion under two separate blame snack contracts, each of which has multiple property owners. Project site is located east of the community of Mitchell, south of Red Rock Road. They intend to continue the commercial ag use of intensive farming for hay production. During the review of the request, it was found that the property is within two ag preserves, which has property under separate ownership and is not contiguous. So this issue should be addressed by amending the existing preserves and remove the subject property and create a new preserve consisting of only the Iron Horse Acres property. It is not proposed to increase or decrease the number of acres in preserve or contract. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15317 Open Species Winter Contracts. Adopting resolutions amending the ag preserve to remove the subject property and create a new 521-acre preserve, rescind the property from the existing contract, and issue a single contract for the subject property within the newly established 521-acre preserve. Thank you.
Presentation of correspondence?
None at the clerk's level.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Any in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Any in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Public comments in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by opponents in the room? Online?
Showing none online.
We will close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board. Hearing none. Entertain a motion.
Make the recommended motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you.
All right, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
And Supervisor Oak.
Aye. Moving on to item C. Nielsen. Open the hearing.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. Robert Nielsen has submitted an application for a separate Williams Knott contract for his 181.6 acres of land, which is only a portion of an existing Williams Knott contract. The property is located south of the community of Gazelle on Gazelle Callahan Road. He intends to continue the commercial ag use of rangeland and pasture for livestock production and forage. During review again, it was found that the property is within an ag preserve that has property under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. To address this issue, the existing preserve should be amended to remove the subject property and a new preserve created consisting of only Mr. Nielsen's property. The applicant does not propose to increase or decrease the acreage in preserve or contract. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA, which is pursuant to 15317. Adopt resolutions amending the existing ag preserve to remove the subject property and create a new 181.6 acre preserve, rescind the property from the existing contract, and reissue a single contract for the subject property within the newly established 181.6 acre preserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Presentation of correspondence?
None at the clerk's level.
A presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room? Online?
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Public comments in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by opponents in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
We'll close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board.
Move to approve.
Second. Thank you.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakland.
Aye. Moving on to item D. From Merlo. Open the hearing.
Thank you, Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. Arabella Merlo has submitted an application for a separate Williams Knott contract for their 627.07 acres of land, which is only a portion of two existing Williams Knott contracts. The property is located east of the city of Edna, east of McConaughey Gulch Road. They intend to continue the commercial ag use of rangeland and pasture for livestock production and forage. During the review request, it was found that the property is within an ag preserve that has property that is under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. We need to address this issue by amending the existing preserve to remove this property and create a new preserve consisting of only the Merlo property. The applicant does not propose to increase or decrease the acreage of preserve or contract. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15317. Adopt resolutions amending the existing ag preserves to remove the subject property and create a new 627.07 acre preserve, rescind the property from the existing contracts, and reissue a single contract for the Merlot property within the newly established 627.07 acre preserve. Thank you.
Presentation of correspondence.
Nothing at the clerk's level.
Thank you. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room. Any online?
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room. Any online?
Showing none online.
Public comments in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by opponents in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
We'll close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board? And a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Howard?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobson?
Aye.
Supervisor Oker?
Aye. Moving on to E, and that is for Nature Conservancy. And we'll open the hearing.
Thank you, Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. The Nature Conservancy has recently acquired Parks Creek Ranch, which is only a portion of an existing Williams Knack contract. They have submitted an application for a separate Williams Knack contract for their 560 acres of land. The property is located north and west of the city of Weed on Highway 99. They intend to continue the commercial ag use of rangeland and pasture for livestock production and forage. During the review of the request, it was found that the property is within an ag preserve which has property under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. This issue must be addressed by amending the existing preserve and remove the subject property and create a new preserve consisting of only the Nature Conservancy property. The applicant does not propose to increase or decrease acreage in preserve or contract. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15317. Adopt resolutions amending the ag preserve to remove the subject property and create a new 560 acre preserve. Rescind the property from the existing contract and reissue a single contract for the subject property within the newly established 560 acre preserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Presentation of correspondence?
No correspondence of the clerk.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence, any in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Proponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Public comments in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by opponents in the room? Online?
Showing none online.
We'll close the hearing. Discussion by the board? Entertain a motion?
Questions, please.
Oh, sure.
So, is the Wildlife Conservation Board purchase of this property, how many acres was that?
The total acreage was 560 acres.
And so, I'm hearing they're breaking out part of this and splitting the contract, is that what I'm hearing?
Within the Ag Preserve Administrator's report, there is a exhibit, it is A. It's a map of the property showing all existing property under this contract. It's 74008. If you look at that, you can see that they're not adjacent. They're not contiguous. It's spread out, and so at the time that this property was put under contract in 1974, that property owner owned all these pieces. Now it's under Nature Conservancy ownership of the 560. Emerson Investments owns a large portion of it. Mills Ranch owns a very small piece, and the Cashews own a section as well.
So am I looking at the red?
The red is the Nature Conservancy piece. So they were allowed to be under contract when this contract was established because they were all under that ownership. But now that it's been sold off to different owners, the Nature Conservancy has not indicated that they will be splitting it further, in that they have requested everything that they own under one contract. So,
but the portion that's in yellow outline, the larger parcel?
That's Emerson.
The yellow is?
Yes.
So, I guess I'm having trouble figuring out the location here. So, I guess my concern is this irrigated land currently? And was this part of the purchase from Wildlife Conservation Board?
Only outlined in red.
Yes.
Is what was purchased by under the Nature Conservancy name. The acres that are irrigated are 408 acres, is what they indicated in their questionnaire that that's part of their application packet, with 152 acres of dry pasture grazing.
Okay, so in the acquisition for fee interest from Wildlife Conservation Board, it states that the it's item 512B, dedication of water rights, and it indicates that within 6 years from the close of escrow, they'll be seeking permanently dedicate a significant portion of the property water rights for the enhanced in-stream flow. The grantee shall not use the property water rights to divert water, excepting any water required to maintain habitat or property management needs, including agricultural use of the property as outlined in the management plan. So it sounds to me as though the grant has, I don't know what a significant portion of water rights are going to be removed from this, but it sounds like 75% at least, at a minimum, for in-stream flows. How, I'm having heartburn, I'll just put it that way. This sounds like another deal, only this time Nature Conservancy is aware of their water right dedication, where in the Big Springs Ranch they were not. So I'm having difficulty with this. I don't know if I need more clarification to continue it. At this point, knowing that this is that they have agreed to this, I don't know how it. Well, and I've been told by their representative that they only plan to hold the property for 10 years. So with that, it sounds like it's, I don't know where it'll go at the end of 10 years, but more than likely, with the water dedication the way it is, it'll become worthless, and the state will buy it just like they did the Big Springs Ranch, and then have yet another state-owned property that doesn't pay property tax. So, at this point, I'm not supportive. I unless I can get more information, but this is pretty clear-cut about their requirement to dedicate more or that water in stream. And that isn't the purpose, I don't think, of the Williamson Act, is to create habitat. I don't know how else to say that.
So through the chair, Natalie Reed County Council, for clarification, the document that you're referencing, is that a part of the packet or is that another document?
No, it was provided as part of a title report backup document.
Okay. And
it's in the file.
Okay. So we would want to make that a part of the record if that's something that the board is considering regarding what supervisor.
It's public information. So,
right.
Yeah.
But just because it's a public hearing, we just want to be clear what the board is considering.
Yeah.
And then the clerk would then need that for the file.
So is that grounds for a continue with this document that needs to be provided? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that would be grounds to continue if you're introducing additional evidence into the public hearing.
And the hearing is officially closed, so it would need to be reopened.
Yeah, it would need to be reopened to include that.
Okay, so we'll reopen the hearing and then continue.
Well, I mean, I'd like to hear other comments from the board members. I mean,
sure.
You know, I mean, in my mind, you know, no offense here, it was a recommendation. This is what we've been doing all along for any other property owner that wants to re-enter back into a Williamson contract.
I get that, but their requirement for the purchase of this is to basically dump their water right, just like they did on Big Springs.
That's their right, though, isn't it? I mean, you know,
it's state money that's purchasing this, sure. And the water right is a decreed right.
Well, maybe a clarification. It is a right to do that, but it's not their right to have a Williamson Act.
Yeah, I think my issue here is the Williamson Act was designed to protect agricultural properties, people that were applying water to the land for a product for the nation to enjoy. When you get down to where you're buying a property to dedicate to fish instead of farming, you're contradicting what the basis of what Williamson Act was for. And I mean, and they continue to do this. I mean, this isn't just a one-off thing where they bought one piece of property and they're, you know, doing this. It's they're continuing to expand this process and take agricultural producer property out of production, and it'll never be in production again.
And I think the only heartache I have with that, I'm not disagreeing here, is that there was a willing buyer. Someone else could have bought that and done the same thing. A private party.
Well, and
a rich, you know, philanthropist could buy it and do the same thing, and then what would be the objection?
Well, so the objection.
Well, they say that they're operated as an ag.
But the difference is you're talking about somebody privately purchasing that, not us as the public purchasing that
for
this organization.
It's a requirement of the grant.
Yeah.
So they're forcing the Nature Conservancy to give up that water. That's the element that isn't, that we're not talking about.
So what would be the purpose of continuing the
so that you can have this document, so that you can review it, would be, I guess, is that what I'm hearing?
So through council, I just want to make sure that the applicant, as part of the public hearing, is provided with all of the documents that the board is using to make its decision.
Okay. So I guess, you know, my... real clear. I don't care who it is that's applying really for a Williamson Act contract. If you're bringing along with a 1707, I'm not interested.
It's there in the document.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Because for a couple of reasons. I mean, it's not just your right to do something. It's also, you know, when you do a 1707 and then you sell the land, the next owner can't undo that. So you've effectively sealed the doom for this piece of property in perpetuity, which takes away any opportunity for future generations to do something else with that land with no water on it. And, you know, I'm as concerned about our future and future generations in this county as the current consequences of some of these actions that are taking place. I'm also concerned, too, like I said before, with Marble Peaks are going to do the same thing. It's the antithesis of what we're trying to do with our groundwater management plan. So, my two cents. Bring it forward later.
I'm okay to continue it and provide, you know, if you can provide this as part of the document for the board.
Chair, I can attach that to the supplemental staff report to the hearing. It's continued to. It was provided to us by the applicant. Just for clarification, that's where the document came from.
Okay.
And so I will do that to whatever date you prefer for that to be continued. I can be ready for that with my understanding that we're going to come back with two options for the board to approve or issue it non-renewal, since we're kind of split. So that gives me a path for you for either way.
That work?
Great.
Yes.
We have a few dates to choose from.
We won't do it on the 18th.
We have November 18th.
No, I'm saying no to that, I think, right? Well, or am I thinking LTC? That's what's going to, that's
the afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, we should have a fairly light meeting.
Is it?
Okay. We have the.
Then that's fine. That's fine.
The STA JPA discussion,
right.
Public hearing
public
on the
hearing.
18th. It's the only one I can think
of. There's not a big deal going on. Okay, that's
well,
fine.
Did you have others planned? Ag preserve?
No. You don't have 14.
You
had
an elk.
Not just one or two. Really, I have like at least 10, right?
All right, then we'll bring that one back on the 18th of November.
Okay. So continue to 11, 18, 25. And that's, we had already... Oh, reopened the public hearing, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do we need a motion for any of that, Natalie?
Sure, for good measure.
Motion to continue to November 18th, is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
And continue.
That's my motion.
Sorry.
All right. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Halp?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsett?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye. Okay, we'll move on to item F. And we will open the hearing for Owens.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. Tract Travis Owens has recently acquired 413.45 acres located north of the city of Montague on Reservoir Road. The property is only a portion of an existing Williamsonac contract. Mr. Owens has submitted an application for a separate contract for his 413.45 acres of land. He intends to continue the commercial ag use of rangeland and pasture for livestock production and forage. During a review of the request, it was found that the subject property is within an ag preserve, which has property under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. To address these issues, the existing preserve should be amended to remove the subject property and a new preserve created consisting of only this property. The applicant does not propose to increase or decrease the acreage in preserve or contract. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15317. Adopt resolutions amending the existing ag preserve to remove the subject property and create a new 413.45 acre preserve. Rescind the property from the existing contract and reissue a single contract for the Owens property within the newly established 413.45 acre preserve. Thank you.
Presentation of correspondence?
None for this one.
Okay. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room. And online.
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room. Any online.
Showing none online.
Public comments in the room. Any online.
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents in the room. Any online.
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by opponents in the room. Any online?
Showing none online.
We'll close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board. Hearing none. Entertain a motion.
Make the recommended motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye. And item G for Marchio. We will open the hearing.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. Jesse McCames, on behalf of the Marchio family, has submitted an application for a separate Williamsonac contract for their 476.28 acres of land, which is only a portion of an existing Williamsonac contract. The property is located north of the city of Etna on Holzhauser Lane and Island Road. They intend to continue the commercial ag use of intensive farming for hay production with pasture for livestock grazing. During a review of the request, it was found that three of the subject parcels at 2.51, 12.25, and 10.47 acres do not meet minimum parcel size requirements. Additionally, a 51.6 acre portion of a 132.45 acre parcel is not currently under contract. These issues were discussed with the applicant, and they proposed to move their project forward with the request that the 51.6 acre portion be included in the new contract and the three substandard parcels totaling 25.23 acres be issued a notice of non-renewal. It was also found that the subject property is within preserve that has property under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. To address this issue, the existing preserve should be amended to remove the property and a new preserve created consisting of only the Marchio property. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15317. Adopt resolutions amending the existing ag preserve to remove the subject property and create a new 476.28 acre preserve. Rescind the property from the existing contract and issue a single contract for the subject property within the newly established 476.2 acre preserve and issue a notice of non-renewal for the three substandard parcels of 25.23 acres. Thank you.
Thank you. Presentation of correspondence?
No correspondence at the clerk's.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence? Any in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Public comments, any in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents, any in the room? Any online?
None online.
Rebuttal by opponents. Any in the room? Online?
Showing none online.
We will close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board.
I make a recommended motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion. And decision.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Hout.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Oakley.
Aye. And we will open the hearing for 5 properties. Your Mulligan.
Thank you. Bernadette Sazen, Associate Planner. Staff continue to monitor properties under Williamsnack contract with continued commercial agricultural uses. The following properties are being recommended for issuance of a notice of non-renewal as the property owner has not provided information on the uses occurring on the property as requested. In the staff report provided to the Ag Preserve Administrator, there were 6 owners. Lawrence provided the information upon notice of these hearings and has verified that he does have commercial ag uses occurring, so he's not included in the proposed resolution. 685 acres under contract 720308 owned by Flanagan are being recommended as they did not provide a response to the survey that was mailed to them. 160 acres under 72062 owned by Baird. Similarly, we did not receive the requested information. Staff sends a survey and a declaration form. The survey is basic information on the acreage and the uses occurring, and a declaration form is a form that provides, substantiates evidence to show that there is a commercial ag use, and they can provide income verification or a statement by whomever's using the property for the commercial ag use, and neither of those were received on their property. 72.45 acres owned by Geep is being recommended as we have not received a survey from the property owner. 161.9 acres owned by Blodgett. Again, we still have not received any response to information requested from the Blodgetts for their property. And then finally, 453.6 acres owned by Jones. We have not received a survey from them in 2023 or 2025. They were recommended for issuance of non-renewal after the lack of a 2023 survey, but were removed for us staff to further contact them, and we have not been able to receive any response to requests for information. Staff recommends the board adopt the resolution directing staff to issue a notice of non-renewal for the properties listed in Exhibit A to the draft resolution, and determine this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA Guidelines Section 15317, Open Space Easements and Contracts, and the Common Sense Exemption 15061D3. Thank you.
Thank you. Presentation of correspondence.
Yes, the clerk's office received 2 of our public hearing notification letters back as undeliverable or unable to forward for a Jesse Bursell and also a Jack A. Jones Trust.
Thank you. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Proponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room?
Definitely.
Oh, we do. We've got a hand.
Mark Baird, appearing on my own behalf. I couldn't hear how many acres Bernadette said it was associated with my parcel. It went too fast. Could she read that again?
Yes.
160
acres.
Okay. Well, I don't even know where to start. 160 acres isn't what we have. We have almost 700 acres, one parcel of which isn't even listed in the report that's right in the middle of it. If this is a matter of the Class A soil, I'm not really sure. In other words, this thing has so many holes in it, I don't even know where to go. Are you proposing to disallow the 176 acres, but the rest of it stays? I've never seen a contract to begin with, and I've been there 35 years almost. Never seen a Williamson contract, never signed one. I didn't even really know about it until probably 10 years ago. I fill out the surveys that they send every year. I feel like the county has some authority or jurisdiction to know what's going on agricultural land. We clearly are involved in agriculture. All you got to do is drive by and look at the cows. And the demands being made by the planning department include a full title report on our entire parcel at a cost of about $10,000, not doing that. And they require an easement be recorded on my property on behalf of the county, not doing that. And I have some law review articles here that say that Williamson contracts are mere contracts. They don't rise to the level of constitutional authority. There is a principle in law called dead hand control, where a contract supposedly in perpetuity, where one of the signatories of the contract no longer is present, or in this case, land is sold to someone else, and the original guy is long gone, and guys down the road are not fully informed, nor is it disclosed to them what the conditions of those contracts are. And in fact, I've never even seen a Williamson contract to know what the conditions of the contract are, except that it's commonly known that you remain in agricultural activity. So, and there are open space requirements. In other words, part of our land is TPZ, and so it is not in agricultural endeavor right now, it's just sitting there. But there is a provision for that, and it's deer wintering. So if the land is open space and it does kind of contribute to the saving the environment or the furthering of those ends, then that could be considered for Williamson. However, apparently, and I'm not sure where this particular parcel is, that's another thing. We have a ranch parcel number, which is supposedly the legal parcel number, but then we have about 10 tax parcel numbers for which there is no legal description. So if this 176 is one of those parcels, how do you even know where it is? There is no legal description for a tax parcel number. It's simply determined by the aggregate of the soil, Class A, Class B, Class C. Is Williamson limited to Class A, or does it include B and C? Can it be used under Williamson if it's B or C? The cows don't care. They just keep eating. They don't even know what B or A is. If there's grass, they keep eating. Is it only irrigated pasture? Adjudications don't allow for 12 months of irrigation. You start on April 1st, you quit on October 1st. So 6 months of the year, does Williamson terminate? You know, my suggestion is this could be handled in a much easier fashion with a lot less balderol and a lot less jeopardy for the county and for the contract signing. And that is just make it a simple civil contract. You're not going to get an easement on my property ever. And I'm just not going to pay 10 grand for a title report when you could walk down the hall to the county recorder and find out exactly what I own and exactly what it entails and exactly what kind of soil it is. You have soils maps. Why do I need to pay someone to provide that yet again when you have access to all that data at your fingertips? So the long and short of it is I am more than willing to continue doing what we've been doing for 30 plus years. Let cows graze. I have no intention on subdividing. I have no intention of doing anything but what Williamson, the spirit of Williamson, allows me to do. However, I refuse to participate in the inquisition that is being asked of me in order to continue in Williamson. And if that's the case, and if the board votes, and it's well within your authority to vote my 176 apparently out of 700 out of Williamson, and if the purpose of that is to reassess its value starting from today at a fair market, then it's inconsistent with Prop 13, and especially since a lot of this hasn't been disclosed to me all the way along. That would be patently unfair and would certainly elicit a reaction on my part legally. So I'm happy to keep going with this. Give me a one-page deal. Do you agree to continue with the principles of Williamson and not subdivide the property or use it for any other purpose but agriculture? Yep, I'll sign that. For a period of 10 years, 5 years, whatever you want. But I'm just not willing to open the can of worms that the planning department wants me to open. So I hope you'll take all that into consideration, and I'll wait for your answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Proponents, arguments, and/or evidence online.
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, and/or evidence in the room. Online.
Showing none online.
Public comment in the room. Online.
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents in the room. Online.
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by opponents in the room. Online.
Showing none online.
And we'll close the hearing.
I think before you close the hearing, we probably should get some answers to Mr. Barrett's questions.
Well, we're going to have some discussion, but we can...
I don't know. I think it stays open.
Stays open and talk to Bernadette.
Okay, so specifically about the Barrett Vaughn property, the 160-acre parcel is under one contract by itself. When we did not receive the requested information, that particular property was put on the list for a recommendation for non-renewal. We did receive a survey return for other property that Mr. Baird owns that needs to be addressed in a different manner. That property is under a multi-owner contract with, I believe, two other owners. And the survey was returned, so he knows his total acreage better than I do off the top of my head. I believe the remainder of the property is like 500 acres. Anyhow, that he returned the survey about, and only 200 of which was accounted for as being utilized for agricultural uses. So therefore, staff reaches out to property owners at that point to get clarification, and that was not received. At that time, we did also discuss that it was a multi-owner contract and that also needed to be addressed. So we were looking for clarification on complete usage of the property, what was occurring on all the entire Baird-owned property.
I can answer that right now.
And?
The multi-owner thing, I don't know where that comes from. I own it all. No one else owns any of it. I don't know how the names are on there. I don't know why. It doesn't matter to me, but that's my property and I have deeds for it.
For clarification, staff's not implying that anyone has ownership to Mr. Barrett's property. There's a boundary, a contract boundary, and Mr. Barrett owns a portion of property under that contract boundary.
See, that's another thing I wasn't aware of.
Can we let her finish, please?
Yeah, I'm trying, but it's kind of...
You'll get a chance to read my paper.
And then a neighbor, I believe it's Ruggles is the name, owns their own property within that contract boundary. And I believe they're adjacent. And the Ruggles have shown interest in applying for their own contract. But again, in the correspondence with Mr. Baird, the information was provided on the process to apply for the application. Yes, the title part is part of, a title report is a part of the application. I'm unsure, I don't have clarification on what the easement is he's referring to. There's not an easement language in our application packet, so I can't speak to that. If there's another point that I needed to address, please let me know.
So this is on the 160-acre parcel, what we're talking about today on this one item, is that correct?
Correct. Yes, I'm still working with the properties that have multi-owner contracts, so at the point where we reach an impasse with them, that would be the point that I bring them to you for a non-renewal. So we're not there yet. Right now we're just...
So what's required on this parcel by itself? What are you missing?
Verification of commercial ag use occurring on the property.
And then, I guess that's my question. How do you verify commercial use on a piece of timber property if you're not harvesting?
So this particular contract specified that the property was being used for ranching. So if that's no longer the use that's occurring on this property, again, I'm not sure, then the applicant would need to apply for a change to that contract, which our process to change a contract is a rescind and reissue. So we would take his property out of that old contract and write him a new contract for what the commercial ag use that was occurring. If the use is not a commercial ag use that is within our policy to be allowed under Williamson Act, we would talk with them if it was potentially TPZ, timber property, maybe that might be used. Looking at the aerial of this, it does look like it could maybe qualify. We'd recommend they reach out to a forester because that's the professional they need to work with on that process to rezone. And they could cancel their contract and go straight into a rezone for TPZ.
Yeah, I'm familiar with this piece right here, and it is timber. What is a, so there isn't some kind of a transference from Williamson Act to TPZ that the county does? I mean, what does this cost the owner?
So it's a rezone project. So it'd be, that would be the application, and they would note on their application that it would be a Williamson Act contract cancellation. So it, those projects are, the rezone is an ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes through Planning Commission and to the board for approval. Like any other rezone, and then there is staff additionally will, once that's approved, prepare the resolution to cancel the contract immediately upon the effective date of the TPZ rezone.
What's the cost of a rezone?
The application fee?
Cost me $1,200.
But I believe it's a little bit more than that for a rezone.
I mean, I look at this piece of parcel. I got a major objection to this whole process of lumping all these together because they're each individual situations. And we normally have a public hearing for each contract, not as a lump. So, I mean, we're going to vote on five at once. That doesn't seem right to me. In this particular one, conversion to TPZ is probably more than appropriate. Because I don't know how you would ever show an agricultural commodity output on something that doesn't have grazing land associated with it.
Through the chair, the first step in the rezone process is a non-renewal. According to government code, that's step one. We have to issue a non-renewal on a property, and then we can start the rezone process. So should the property owner decide to apply for a rezone, the non-renewal would be appropriate.
Through the chair. So it sounds like we need to work out a few more details before we take up this item, especially with Mr. Baird and what he's brought forward. Is that beneficial at this point? Because I don't know what his expectations are. He may not want to do a non-renewal, but I don't know how far down the path we want to go here before you actually, I guess, meet and confer again. That's the only thing I can see at this point.
I would recommend that should the board want additional information on the one property owned by Mr. Baird, that we remove that, we amend the resolution to remove that property and move forward with the remaining properties unless...
I also don't like this lumping. It sounds like a couple of the people that are under these contracts, you know, you said that you haven't heard back, but it sounds like one is a trust. The Flanagan property, looking at that, spending a lot of time working on roads up there, that's always had cattle grazing on it. I'm wondering how many of these are, they're not trying to avoid anything, maybe that these people that own them are not receiving them, especially if you're talking one's a trust.
They get their tax bill. They pay their tax bill, right?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know each circumstance, and I'm just saying, like, we're throwing these all together in one pot, and I don't know that that's necessarily the correct avenue here. Didn't you say that two things came back as undeliverable?
Just two of our public hearing notices.
So, I mean, there's issues that we're having with getting the information out.
I guess we've got to jump in here, but regarding a trust, I want to know who's named in the trust to act as the agent of the trust. You know, because it may not be a collection of owners. There's normally a trustee named who has legal authority over it, and are we contacting the right person?
Well, I just did a trust by myself. You have to notify everyone, and you know, I think you have to state that. Let me back up. So I do agree that we shouldn't be lumping these things because, you know, I just think a little bit more methodical. Each one should come up under its own merits. Every one of them has deliverable. But I'm in disagreement on, hey, you got to adhere to a contract. To me, it's significant to know the mailing address so you get anything relevant to that. And I don't know how we correct that down the line, but obviously we deal with this all the time, undeliverable mail. And that's unfortunate.
So the undeliverable mail, one was an adjacent property owner. It was not an owner of one of the recommended properties. The other one, Jones, is the same property owner that I recommended in 2023 for non-renewal that we were not able to get in contact. And now we're getting returned mail. So for 4 years, no correspondence. Okay. It is a trust.
Yeah.
And and I should mention that where we get the information is the assessor record, which is also where the tax bills go, which is also referenced in our contract that's where correspondence will go.
I guess a question for counsel. I mean, is that legal for us to just proceed if we can't verify something?
So for clarification, and Bill Carroll may have further information, you're indicating you're sending notices to the address that is in the contract as where notices will be sent. Is that correct?
The old contracts from pre these property owners, that we do not send a letter to they're like the old Star Route addresses from previous property owners. We send it to the current owner on record with the county assessor's office.
Is that where taxes?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So that's where tax notifications go.
Yes.
It's weird because I know the Jones property is doing it with cows on it. I mean, somebody's managing that thing. Some of the properties in Scott Valley have vacant landowners and they have essentially high school kids administering some of those. Somebody out of high school. So
what happens if we do a non-renewal on one of these properties today? What's the protocol? I mean, can they come back and say,
but a lot of it, they do with intent.
I didn't know. And can they correct it?
We can rescind a notice of non-renewal. I believe it's 60 days. Anyways, after it's been issued, or they can come back and do a contract amendment. It just depends on their situation with their contract. If they're under a multi-owner contract, we probably wouldn't rescind the non-renewal. We would tell them they need to apply for their own contract. But they're in non-renewal for 9 years.
Can we, this might be a stupid question, but I'm going to ask anyways, can we start sending out these things with the tax bill? That way when the tax bill is paid, we know it's been received, and then we don't have this, did they get one but not the other? Is that a possibility? That way, if they pay the tax bill, you know they've received the notice, and then it's easy to just be done. But like right now, if, you know, we don't know. We don't know if they're receiving this information to even get back to us.
Well, which leads to my next question, which was, are you allowed to verify that the tax bills are being paid?
I have access to that information.
Because then at least you know that that is a valid address.
And through the chair, generally there is a noticing procedure, and so long as the entity follows the procedure, then notice is generally considered effective. Here comes Bill Carroll, who will hopefully provide further information.
William Carroll, Assistant County Counsel. I don't know if I'm going to say anything that hasn't really been said already, but the contract specifically provided an address in the contract where notices are supposed to go. The old contracts did have an issue in that they stated an actual address, which did not necessarily coincide with the Williamson Act property address. It could have been LA County owner or something like that. So under the contract, though, the mailings are supposed to go to whatever address is given. recognizing the problem that addresses can change, we recently, up to in the last couple of years, not recently, changed our Williamson Act contract so that the notices go to the property address on record with the assessor. To the extent that we can mail notices with the tax bill, I don't know myself. That would probably be a question for Craig Kay. But in any case, they'd still be going to the same address as the tax bill, which would be the address on record. So long and short of it, under the old contracts, probably like this one, notices go to, by contract, a specific address on the contract. And I assume as a matter of safety, Bernadette, do we also mail it to the assessor anyways? The address on record with the assessor?
Okay.
So
are they measured, or excuse me, are they mailed certified receipt, registered mail?
I don't recall that the contract requires that.
I don't care if it requires it. I'm trying to figure out how we can verify whether or not they got it.
We do not send that. It's about, I believe, $10.60 each, and I probably send $550.
Yeah. Well, how much time have we wasted today?
Our procedure has been in the past, we send everything regular mail with second and third notices, and we seek to find alternate correspondence. So if we have an old, we go through all the old surveys and see if there's an email address, and we attempt every form of communication that they have provided in the past. So I email every address that I have in my records, and I call every phone number I have in the records. And we also use online search tools to track people down. We have a lady in our office who's really great with that, and she does a lot of digging to try and find new contact information. So
I honestly think we should just start sending out the assessment with the tax bill. And then it's very clear, you don't get the tax bill paid and you don't get the thing back, it's not getting where it needs to go. If you get the one and you don't get the other, then it's very clear that they're just unwilling to do it. And then everything, you get everything in one envelope.
So I don't know how that affects that. I think I still want to move along with the staff recommendation, maybe carve out this one further, I disagree that we're wasting time. I think we've always been trying to be methodical and protect people's interests. By the same point, they're not helping us, right? This is a benefit to them, not to the county. We're giving them a tax break, and you mentioned out-of-state owners. I mean, last time we looked at a list, a third were out-of-state, a third were limited liability. That was not the purpose of the Williamson Act. So, again, I've always known where this board stands when it comes to Williamson Act, and I try to go along to the best I can. But there are times, and this is one of them, I think we're trying to go too far to try to accommodate when we're doing, as Bernadette said, she tried every phone number, every address. How much farther are we going to go for the few that fall through the cracks? And if this is the one that we take a step back on, so be it. The ones that aren't responding, we'll hear from them soon enough. And the ones that we send on new, I haven't heard from them. Where are we, Madam Chair?
Well, we can.
I think we're going to carve out buried property altogether.
Yes, so. I think we can take that one and deal with that separately. We've also talked about taking these individually, but do we want to do that moving forward, or do we want to do these as take these four?
Through the Chair, Angela Davis, County Administrator. Thank you for that, because I was going to ask for direction from the board, because if you recall, approximately 2 years ago, it was board direction to staff to bring these back in lumped form for those that do not respond or reply to non-compliance to survey results. So was the direction of the board to lump these together? Now I'm hearing we want to separate them out, so it'd be really appreciative if we can get that clarified for staff. For Bernadette, so that she knows that we have pivoted, which is fine. But I just want to make sure, because I'm hearing a completely different direction than we had when we brought them in a huge list, and the board said, no, can you bring them back together, consolidated?
Thank you for bringing that up, because I recall that, because we were, these things drag on for every one of them.
Yeah,
so
every one.
So I take this as a one-off. We have someone that shows up, and so I'm willing to carve that out, which is pretty simplistic in my mind, and non-renewal the rest, because we have not heard from them.
And real quick, if I could just make a comment, if we were to do them individually, I do know that each would be an individual public hearing, and it would be a notice in the paper and specific cost for each individual one of those.
More work, more time.
Which is why we try to lump them. The non-renewals only. Yeah.
It was the non-compliance with the survey, when non-responsive, and that's the direction from the board. So I just need
So to through sure. the chair. So if we move forward on today, with the exception of the Baird property, anyone that has not received their communication can double back and take corrective action regardless, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. So my motion would be to approve all except the Baird property. You can work on that separately and continue that one for a non-renewal. Am I getting where we need to go?
For clarification, would I re-notice that separate, its own hearing?
That would be my preference, rather than continue this, because this hearing was specific to the non-renewals.
Thank you.
So you're going to bring that back in a different form?
I will, with a new public hearing notice.
And do we have a specific number on the notice that applies to the Baird?
72062.
Okay, thank you.
And I will second that, but I have a comment. I'd like to hear from Mr. Baird about what he's talking about with an easement, you know, so we can clarify that up today. I'd like to get that cleared up.
Well, these are just points for future thought, I'm sure, but I was never aware that there was such a thing as multi-owner boundaries to a Williamson contract. This is the first time I've ever heard that in my life. So I don't even know what that means. I don't see how that's even possible when the property was purchased by me 15 years, 20 years before the so-called co-owner ever even moved into that, the adjacent property. They rent pasture from me. I know who they are. They're good kids. I'm sure they'll do what they're required to do, but there are so many holes in this whole thing that it just defies description. So I'm going to walk out of here, and yes, I really appreciate you continuing this, but I have no idea what's going on. For example, when I fill out the review or the survey, it asks approximately how many acres are being used in agriculture. And I put down the truth that I don't know for sure, because I don't even know how many acres there are, because tax parcels don't have legal descriptions. So I think there's about 200 acres of grass out there. That's what I put down. This parcel apparently is a 500-acre parcel, which apparently had been included in Williamson in perpetuity before I got there, because I fill out the survey every year. I filled out for I don't know how many years now. And I just assumed that the entire parcel was in Williamson, but 200 acres of it are grass. That's not clear. None of this stuff is clear. And I don't see how people can renew in good faith or even fill out the survey in good faith when they have no idea what's being asked of them.
Yeah, so, but specifically, you brought up an easement, and Bernadette was...
Yeah, I got a letter saying that I would need to grant an easement to the county. Now, maybe I misconstrued that or misread it. That's possible. I'm not going to hang my hat on that. Because, quite frankly, I would never do that anyway. But it was the title report and the expense of the title report that really turned me off to the whole thing. I'm not going to spend $10,000 to keep a couple of hundred acres in Williamson. It's just not, first of all, I don't have that kind of money. I'm certainly not going to spend it on that, even if I did, and especially for information that the county has at its fingertips anyway. Why would anyone do that? So, anyway. Thank you.
All right, going forward, we'll talk.
Unless someone has other questions, I don't know. Okay.
And I've got one more question. I don't think we officially closed the hearing.
We
either.
Did not.
No, and we
did. I did, but then we reopened. So
we didn't set a date. Either.
No, so we have a few things to do here. First, we need to set a date for that hearing.
Well, if it's a
new hearing, it's going to be brought back.
If it's a new hearing, it wouldn't
so you have to
be a specific date. We have to go through all that.
So we have to close this hearing for the four others. And then we're going to vote on that. And then you're going to do your business with Mr. Baird's hearing separately. And may I suggest that you have some conversation with Mr. Baird to kind of...
Well, that's the intent, I think.
Right?
Good. I was to keep
yes.
it going. Keep,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so we're going to close the hearing.
Do we need to vote?
We haven't voted yet.
We've gotten there.
We're getting there, I think.
Get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've had all the discussion I think we need to have, and now we're going to entertain a motion.
And it's the motion, basically the recommended motion, but removing the Baird property, which is the, what was it, 72062,
that's
that contract number.
Yeah.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth.
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakley.
Yes.
And Bernadette, I realize the resolution isn't correct, so I'm not going to have the chair sign it today.
Okay.
But I know you're not going to be available for a bit to do any signing.
Supervisor Howe has one more comment.
Yeah, well, Ms. Davis asked for directions.
Yes,
you know,
please.
It's just me, but I know how easy it is to mail things to a trust, and even though the tax assessor stuff is going to the trust and the tax is getting paid, it may be paid by a third entity like an attorney or some other money manager or whatever the heck is going on there. I don't know because I don't know every specific thing, and especially if there's an error, an AGIR, who's administering a trust, who doesn't have any idea what's going on locally. I don't know the current situation of the Burcells or the Joneses. They're in Fort Jones. I do know somebody's operating that property and somebody's paying the taxes. I don't know if it's them, is what I'm saying. So I'm looking for something that's verifiable. That it was that whatever our notice is, it's actually being delivered. Because to me, that's a legal test in my mind of notification. And without it, you know, it's kind of like the joke is, you know, if you get a jury summons, just throw it away. They don't know you have it. You know, I mean, lots of people do that. It's kind of the same sort of thing in my mind.
Okay.
And I'll defer that to staff as to how you would like to verify the delivery
somehow
of these notices. But correct, we can definitely vet that out.
I think it goes out with the tax statement, that's fine too. I mean,
The specific direction that I was seeking, though, was the comments that were made about divvying these up and bringing them as individual items for only those that are the survey non-compliance, or do you still want to go with the direction that was given 2 years ago about keeping
I don't recall the circumstances personally.
Well, I think there were,
there was multiple
things.
That's what happens. It comes in bulk.
I think we're getting down to the nitty gritty at this point, and I would like to see them individually. That's my preference.
I think I would keep the way we have it. It's easy to carve out if there's an issue, if you will. I do think we're getting down to the nitty gritty. But I wouldn't wait to bulk them up. If you're bringing anything, bring what you can. So it's not five or six at one time.
Do you think if you could identify if it was a trust that maybe you pull that one out? How's that versus throwing it in lump? Is that I wouldn't think that would be. I don't know.
However you prefer it, I will present it that way. I have no issue.
My interest is this. It's not so much the individuality piece, but it's the ability for the person to come and testify and be considered individually, even though they're lumped together. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I'm after. You know, and if someone chooses not to engage, oh, well, mm-hmm. you know,
But that's been the vast majority of the non-compliant.
I won't say rare, but
it's not common for someone to come and then we address it. We didn't just follow through and say, hey, tough luck. We said, can we go back and readdress?
As long as we have that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
I think we still accomplished that
bottom,
what you're after today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, are we good with all this, Wendy?
I believe so.
Okay, with that, we're going to hit my 1 o'clock deadline.
Are you close? We're going to do four steps really quick.
You say you have nothing, right?
You can pass.
I'm going to pass.
You can pass? What
pass.
Do you have? I have one thing.
Yep.
On Saturday, attended and spoke at the Heroes Monument.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dedication. And, you know, I wish more people were there. There were a few volunteer fire departments there, Cal Fire.
Was it really well advertised?
No, it wasn't. It was really high. I wouldn't have even known about it. My wife didn't see it on Facebook. I don't know what the notification process is, but normally those things come to us. The Sheriff's Department was there and had your PA over there who did video it and took some pretty good pictures. I think it's worthy of being on the county page, truthfully. There's a lot of work that's gone into that thing. And Supervisor Bill always started that, apparently, quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it was good.
Glad you were there. Thank you. Supervisor Harris?
I don't have anything to report, but I'll comment on what Ray was saying. I didn't see the advertisement for it, and the last weekend of buck season is not optimal.
Cops up?
I'll pass. I'll wait till next time.
I got a couple quick things. I attended the flu shot clinic that was at the fairgrounds and got stuck, and it was, of course, as always, very well run and attended. The North Coast Resource Partnership Ad Hoc Committee on Cannabis Cal-LAFCO conference planning meeting, the Northern Region Water Quality Control Board meeting, that's a mouthful, NRWQCB. Got it?
Yeah.
At Rain Rock, the event center there, Rick Dean was there and a few other notable people. Well-attended meeting, there was a lot of good conversation there. ORCAL RC&D meeting, Chinese labeled pesticides workshop that was hosted by Cal EPA. Hosty did an amazing job. That had over 500 attendees from all across the country. That was some amazing information, and it was all very well received. Some really good information there. North Coast Resource Partnership, there was an executive committee meeting Thursday night and dinner for staff and some guests. We had about 50 people or so take over strings. Really great evening, and that led into the North Coast Resource Partnership quarterly meeting that was here at Rain Rock Event Center. I don't know, 150 people or so were there. Great day, a lot of great information. I really love that organization. PSA2, Area Agency on Aging, Executive Board Meeting, Behavioral Health Meeting, and I am leaving in a couple of minutes to get on a plane to go to San Diego for the Cal-LAFCO Annual Meeting and Conference. That's all I have. So, now, we will go into closed session.